The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you as always for joining us today and for every episode. Welcome. We're glad you're here. We have a lot to talk about.
There's so much to talk about. And I am almost, I don't know when this episode will come out, you guys, but as of October 5th at about 11:30 p.m., just imagine me driving home. My feet are killing me. I'm exhausted. My lower back is probably inflamed, but I will have a big smile on my face.
Windows down, Michael Jackson playing on the radio.
Yeah, baby.
Yes, I know the feeling. So wedding season is almost over for Michelle.
It's down to the wire. So I've got a wedding this weekend and the following weekend. And it's like, I literally just got off the phone with one of my clients going over furniture for vignettes, for cocktail lounge, and playing around on Google Slides and putting this chair next to this couch. And what about this coffee table? Oh, that side table is not cute and it's so expensive. You know, and then putting the names of each thing next to the slide. And then I have to go check it against the rental order and like pull things off that we might have ordered in the past and put things new on it. Hopefully they're still available. So it's down to these details that sometimes are done well in advance and sometimes they're last minute.
Yeah. We talk a lot about wedding planning as like putting the pieces of the puzzle together. And the analogy goes pretty well with a lot of scenarios because you're at that point in the puzzle where you can tell there's only like 7 or 8 more pieces to put in, and mm-hmm. you can see the whole puzzle. You know exactly where they go, mm-hmm. but you're twisting them around a little bit, or one fell on the floor, or you mm-hmm. found another one in the box, and mm-hmm. you're like, oh, we're doing that. You want shuttle buses. Oh, we didn't.
But then I can't really check that off the box immediately, because before I check that off the box, I have to check with this person and then get the price of this. And how does it affect the schedule, you know, and do we have to go overtime with anybody? And it's just this crazy. Sometimes I'm like, it's like a scavenger hunt. It's like, I can't reach the end.
Yeah. You can't do one thing until you do the other. And when you're fitting things into a giant timeline like that, it's all about the sub timelines also. So you probably have something for like deliveries, and this truck comes first, and then this truck's out by the time this truck is in. And then you have a hair and makeup schedule all of its own. And then you have photo schedule. Yes, the transportation. You can like pull mm-hmm. 10 different schedules out of our master timeline.
I know.
These are all things that a wedding planner thinks about. For those of you who are considering not having a wedding planner, you are going to have a lot of
hire a wedding planner
near the end. And that's why we always talk about month of planners in particular. If you don't want a planner, but you want to be able to enjoy that month before your wedding day, that's what a month of planner would be for, to take all your hard work and do the best they can in that last month.
Make sure it makes sense. And you know, that you can fit all those pieces together. There's not those missing pieces, and there you can't find them under the rug, under the couch. Yeah. They're not in between the seat, the cushions of the couch. What do we do?
Yeah, because people ask so many questions that last week. Relatives, oh my God. Vendors,
like all of a sudden, party. You wake up in the middle of the night. Do we need to order cocktail napkins? Do we have who's bringing the cocktail napkins? We never discussed cocktail napkins.
Yeah. Yes. Or you're like, I think a lapel mic is a really bad idea. Like something just hits you where you're like, yes. You've already made the decision, but then it's like, you know what? I've been thinking about it.
Yeah.
We're going to need two mics on stands or whatever.
Yeah. We'll have a back. We're going to have a mic and on a table next to where the officiant is standing, because lapel mics are horrible when there's any sort of breeze.
I'm going to New York City in a couple of days and I'm under the weather and there's like a million things to do before I go, but I'm going for my 10-year anniversary, which we talked about when we had, I think it was an officiant on.
I think so.
Because I talked about like renewing my vows in Central Park or something really romantic and wonderful.
The unofficial honey efficient. Break. Oh, no, that was Honey Break. That's right. Because you said, maybe I'll hit you up for my 10-year anniversary. Yeah. Did And obviously you didn't.
No, I don't. I barely
So you would
got,
not like, marry him all over again, basically, is what you're saying.
I would
saying.
Have to really think about it.
Yeah. Especially
I barely got dinner reservations done. I mean, it was like last night I finally finalized like which museum we were going to go to. I mean, my itinerary crafting was not, I just have had a long couple of weeks with him traveling so much. So I think it's going to be really fun. I'm looking forward to it, but it's not nearly as mapped out as I thought it would be. Maybe that'll be a blessing in disguise.
I was going to say, try not to schedule everything. Just relax.
Well, it wasn't, I don't want to schedule like breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert, bar. I wanted to schedule so that we made the most of our time geographically. Yeah. Like this morning we'll start in Chelsea and go to Greenwich and end up over here. This morning we'll go out to Brooklyn. Like there's so much to do that I didn't want to be figuring out like,
what do you want to do,
how
babe?
We traverse across the city.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really like, there's so, it's been a long time since I've been to New York City. We've never been together. There's so many amazing places to eat and drink that I don't want to just end up at some like shitty bar just because it's like close or we're like, oh, that looks good.
Yeah.
So anyways, lots to do, but I wanted to use that as a segue into one of our sponsors.
Oh, look because, at that. You're such a pro.
Well, thinking about an efficient, and talking about renewing our vows, but we do have an ongoing deal with the Unboring Efficient, unboringefficient.com. And we just love this guy and we love what Mark is his name and he was on the podcast, but unboringefficient.com/bigwedding is where you can look at his guide. If you are considering having a friend or relative or your dad or your neighbor or your barber or whoever be your wedding officiant rather than having a member of the clergy or a rabbi or a justice of the peace or a professional for hire officiant, you should check out Mark's guide because it's really comprehensive and we have our stamp of approval firmly on it. So it's very helpful for anybody that is not going to have a professional efficient on their wedding day. So check that out. And use the link because that'll get you the discount.
Yeah. Where do we have that? It is right on the website, right?
Yeah, it is. And it's unboringefficient, OFFICIANT.com/bigwedding. So today's format is a little different. I know for a fact there are some of our listeners that also listen to My Favorite Murder, which is a very, very popular podcast. Michelle, you do not listen to
it. I do not listen to it.
Okay.
I do not.
Well, it's two women. I've told you this. I really like it a lot. They have way more banter at the top than we do. So it always makes me feel.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
What?
The whole premise is like, it's about true crime. It's about murder. But each one comes to the recording with a murder to talk about. And they've like researched it and they essentially tell the story of, and the other person like reacts and is like asking questions and adding, you know, theories. But it's like, okay, my turn first. I'm going to tell you about the scary tooth fairy of Boston, Massachusetts, 1979. And then she's going to be like, oh, I've heard of that. Or, oh shit, never heard of it. So that's kind of today's format, except only one of us is going to be informing the other. And that is because today's episode is a little different. It is a topic about the history of wedding planning almost. And specifically newspaper wedding announcements. So the original "we're married" was not an Instagram photo of you two at the altar. The original announcement was in newspapers. So they're as old as newspapers themselves and like obituaries. They're a staple of national newspapers and local newspapers alike. And we're
going
to... Yeah.
I didn't even think about that part of it, Christy. I was just thinking about how do you get that in the newspaper? But you're right. Like, that's the way people used to find out and get all sources of information. So what a history, huh?
And it's going to be, so we got this idea because in our Facebook group, which at the time only had like 100 people, it was pretty new when our listener, Cheryl, who had been in touch with us about something about her wedding. I had emailed her an answer back, but she didn't say anything about a newspaper announcement. But she shared a little graphic of her and her now husband, like one of those that Miss Designberry would do. She got it on Etsy, like an illustration. And it had all these things that they like to do. And one of them was the New York Times newspaper was like illustrated there. And it said, my wedding was submitted and accepted and published in the New York Times. And I just want to share it here. If anyone has any questions, let me know. And I was so stoked because we hadn't ever thought about that for an episode, but also I just love it when listeners share with other, she's only sharing to inform people, not because anybody in that group knows her or would be like, oh my God. But it did remind me that this is like a thing, like society pages, rich people, government, but it's also small towns where you basically like the Santa Paula Gazette or wherever my parents got married, my mom's parents put a little ad basically, like you pay for one column or two and you submit a picture and you write your own, or if they have like an, you know, obituary writer, they ask you questions and then they kind of write it out, but you can also submit your own. But it's like, on June 7th, Mark and Lisa, you know, Lisa Dozine married Mark Daly. And that was, my parents had that, but it wasn't my mom that had anything to do with it. My grandmother
did it.
Yeah. Wanted it. She wanted it on her refrigerator, but she also wanted all of her friends to see her daughter marrying, you know, a military man at the time. Like, my dad wore his whatever uniform and they walked through the swords at the end, and I think that actually the picture that was posted. So these announcements are,
and then people would send telegrams, Christy. It's in telegrams to congratulate them. Yes, no, this is so weird because I was literally just on a phone call with my client and we were talking about her. She's ordering this really cute acrylic box on Etsy for her cards, and it just says her and his names and the date. And I was like, oh, you could use that later. Like, it's cute for your house. I like it. And she's like, my mom has a box like this from her wedding. And you know, it has a whole bunch of telegrams in it congratulating her on her engagement. And I was like, that is so crazy because in my baby book, this is how old I am, I have a telegram from my grandparents to my parents congratulating them on my birth.
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. See, you know, I love this kind of stuff. These like little bits of archival, you know, bits and pieces of our lives. So also it's all, I mean, it's a very pop culture-y thing. So like Sex and the City, which I watched obsessively back in high school. Charlotte was on a mission to get her wedding in the New York Times, and she was trying to pick out the perfect photo because some people use some newspapers want engagement photos or not a wedding photo, like not you in your gown, because they're publishing it like the next day or in the next 5 days. Mm-hmm. So it's funny because when it gets to the second half of this episode, I'm interviewing Cheryl, talking about her process getting her wedding in the New York Times, and the photo was like the hardest part.
Yeah.
Because there's all these crazy rules that you have to follow. And
Charlotte's photo came out with the spot.
Yeah, and ink.
The ink.
Newspaper ink.
On her face or something, right?
Yes.
In the episode,
like on her nose,
she was so upset.
Yeah, so it's very like, we've seen it, and we've not done an episode about it because we kind of forget about it.
Yeah.
Like you and me, we're wedding planners. We're like in the trenches of the industry. It's not all the like pretty fluffy fun stuff that surrounds it. And it's oftentimes families that do it instead of the couple themselves. But that's what today's episode is about. And I did all this research and I pulled from a bunch of links that Cheryl, our listener, sent me, and also about like the history of this. But a lot of the information here is specifically about the New York Times because they're sort of the epitome of a wedding announcement. So the New York Times does theirs. Theirs is actually free, but you have to go through all these hoops. but other basic newspaper announcements might start at like $25. And some, if you want a photo in a larger metropolitan newspaper, can cost up, you know, around $400.
Jeez.
So traditionally, if the bride's parents host the wedding, it's most appropriate for them to write the wedding announcement and manage the logistics of publishing it in a newspaper, like my mom's mom did. However, of course, these days, more and more people are doing things themselves, and it's acceptable for the couple to make the announcement, especially if they eloped, because then they're basically just saying, we got married, not all the details, like we got married in Hawaii. Regardless of how many newspapers run an announcement, the bride's family typically handles the publishing of it. So you might, the groom's parents might also want an announcement. And back in the day, the bride's mom would still be the one to put it in the groom's parents' newspaper. You see, like the same announcement, but two newspapers. So the etiquette, according to the New York Times, a proper marriage announcement messaging includes, and we'll read an example, the full names of the couple at the date of their event and the time, and those crafting the message. New York Times does have a writer on staff. Like, this is what
they do.
They do. Yes. And I say something about him at the end. I want to see if we can get him on the podcast, because he's done like
that would be so
an insane
fun.
Amount.
Oh, I'd love that. How do we get in touch with him? Do we know his name? Gotta know his
anybody
name.
Know the guy at the New York Times that writes these? You should hit
Does
us
he
up.
Do okay. wedding announcements and obituaries? He might be.
He's
might
only wedding announcements.
Jeez.
But he came from like, it's at the bottom of the outline,
Is that
I think.
A full-time gig?
Yeah, I'm scrolling, so I'm not going
really?
To. Okay, so it's basically a list of when they got married and then some details, a little meet cute, how they met, details about the bride's dress, bouquet, her hometown, and the couple's honeymoon plans. Should the space allow, the announcement will also list the names of the couple's parents, wedding party, and officiant.
Wow.
The New York Times does all of that. But I pulled one from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram because my parents still get that newspaper. And you can see these online, but just like you would see the classifieds on the Fort Worth Star-Telegram website. So it says, Alexandra, I won't say their last names, and Zane were united. I'm reading this so you have an example of how dry these are.
Yeah,
not flowery.
Yeah.
So Alexandra and Zane were united in marriage on this date at this location in Fort Worth. Deacon, this guy of this church, officiated the ceremony. Music was provided by soloist that lady and organist that guy. A seated dinner reception followed at the Fort Worth Club. On the eve of the wedding, a rehearsal dinner was hosted by the groom's parents at this other rooftop place. The bride is the daughter and the granddaughter. The groom is the son and the grandson.
And lists their names.
It lists everyone's full names.
Wow.
Mr. and Mrs.
Yeah.
The late Charles Renfro. If anybody is like, you know, deceased, it's very official.
Wow.
Given in marriage by her father. The bride wore a gown
this
by
is
Martina
so not
Liana,
feminist.
Adorned with a beading and sequin lace. See, it's so like, it almost takes the production out of it. And then they listed off, they had four paragraphs of the full listing of the wedding party, including kids, like flower girls, and full names and relationships to the couple. So
it also says where they graduated from and what their degree was.
Yes.
Oh, and a member of Alpha Chi Omega, or Chi.
And a member of Delta Tau Delta. So they were two, it was a oft-told story of a sorority
I would love
girl
to hear,
in a fraternity.
Yeah.
And then
she was in a sorority. She drank from a...
where he's employed. She does not have an employment place
this
in here.
This is so interesting.
Yes. And then...
This is a very detailed one, though, Chrissy. They're not all like this.
They're not... Well, this is, like, very standard.
They probably
they
paid a lot
shorter,
for this one.
They can be shorter or... And there was a picture just of her, I believe, in this. But the New York
just
Times that
her.
Cheryl talks about, I know, isn't that bull?
What?
Her parents are the ones that paid for it. And it was a it was a picture of her in her wedding dress. So this was the kind where you could make this announcement
after.
A month after the wedding.
And you could tell everybody what they missed who didn't go.
Yes. So it's kind of a dying, I feel like it's a dying art
it is.
In that way that newspapers are
it is.
Dying. I mean, we all read it on our phones now. I've gotten the New York Times app on my phone and I read it every single day. I've never gone to the wedding announcement.
But it's in there, right?
Page.
Is it in the app?
Yeah.
Okay. Then it's not dying if they're keeping it, you know, if they're putting it,
it's a dying art in that we're hearing less print and less about it.
And people doing it.
A lot of people are using the announcement format for like cute creative ways. Like, so they'll get like an Etsy graphic designer to make an announcement that looks like a newspaper announcement and send that out as their save the date. Mm-hmm. So it's still a part of our like peripheral of what goes into a wedding. It just seems like in my clients, I can't think of any of my clients in the last 3 years that I know put an announcement in the newspaper. I would kind of get a kick out of it if I saw.
I wonder if any of mine have, and they just didn't tell me.
Yeah.
Or should I be look? I mean, Jesus. See, if this was a movie about a wedding planner, the first thing she would do in the morning is check her newspaper while she drinks her coffee and looks at her checklist.
I used to look when I was in right after college, and I'd go home to visit my parents because they still get the Dallas paper and the Fort Worth paper, and they spread it out over the kitchen table every morning. When I was like in my early 20s, I would look to see who was getting married or who announced
you
that they
did?
Were married, because I just thought like, oh shit, somebody from my high school, you know, whatever, because that was
gossip.
Still the way we would have, yeah, exactly. But I also looked at the obituaries to see if anybody I knew died in my
hometown,
you know, because I didn't live there, so I was just going home to visit. So, yeah, and it's sad. Like, even looking at the obits, sometimes you'd see, like, they're all, like, in their 80s or 90s, and then you'll just see somebody that's, like, your age, and you don't know them, but you're just like, oh,
that's awful.
That's sad. Somebody my age died. I did not feel that way when I saw people's wedding announcements. It was more like gossipy, like you said, but it is a way to spread
Regina
the word.
Phalange might have not been cute in high school, but look at that picture of her and that handsome man she's marrying.
Yep.
Regina Phalange. You know where that's from? Friends. That's from Friends. Regina Phalange.
Friends-a-file.
Oh boy. All right.
I've seen it, of course.
Well, you know, okay. Everyone. We can talk about that later. We're gonna get off topic.
Okay. Topic. Here are some interesting facts. You can also do in a lot of these newspapers, the wedding announcements are right next to the anniversary announcements.
Oh,
those are really
cute.
Awesome because they're usually 50-year.
Yeah.
And it's, you can tell that it's like the son, the kids or the grandkids that wrote the announcement.
Yeah.
Which
like
is
that.
Really cute, you know,
see,
and there's
cute.
A picture of them. A lot of times it's a picture of them now, but sometimes it's a picture of them on their wedding day. 50 years ago, which, you know, I love that kind of stuff. So I wonder if there are more anniversary announcements than wedding announcements.
Did you find this history, Christy, in 1851? Or is this something Cheryl told you?
No, I found this one, but it was pretty much all from this article because I was looking for some history of wedding announcements. Like I jotted down, like I want to find the first interracial, when was that announced, or the first same-sex wedding. So I just pulled what I thought, some of the ones I thought were interesting. This is from an article called 165 Years of Wedding Announcement. So the first one was in 1851, the first wedding announcement in the New York Times, 1851, and it was one sentence. In 1895, a wedding was announced of Ida B. Wells, and she was a former slave turned anti-lynching advocate, outspoken feminist, and career woman. So this woman is like who I want my son to do a project on when he gets that assignment, like historical American figure, because I'd never heard of her.
Yeah.
Anyway, big time. She was a journalist, and the wedding was a huge event. And she was marrying another African-American, but the article notes how packed the church and streets were because it was such a huge deal. And then in 1885, Married to a Negro was posted, not as an announcement. That was actually the name of the article. And that was the paper's earliest mention, the New York Times' earliest mention of an interracial marriage. In 1897, the first Muslim wedding was in the newspaper.
Wow.
This was a funny bit of history. You know those pictures of like brides and grooms in the back of a getaway car? Like they were just, the gown is everywhere and they're like looking out the window like, goodbye, or the door is about to close. So that happened during World War II and lasted until the 1950s, that photographers for the New York Times consistently took photographs of couples in the back seats of cars. And that trend was what was posted in the newspaper during that time. And if you think about it, most of the iconic pictures you've seen, the look a little bit like 1940s, 1950s style in the back seat of those cars. And that disappeared at about 1960. And from that point until the 1980s, most of the photographs were the classic studio bridal portrait, a style common in the earliest 20th century. So that's the really like stiff.
I have a whole bunch of those groom. Vintage wedding photos. Remember from my office?
Yes. Yeah. And that's kind of all over the world.
Mm-hmm. They're great.
And then the first same-sex wedding announcement in the New York Times was in 2004. So it was fairly recently. They did do a civil union in 2002, but all through the 90s and the 2000s, gay couples were submitting their civil announcements with photos and the full information that was needed, and they were being rejected as policy. The New York Times said it was policy that they had to be legally married. And Cheryl talks about that a little too when I interviewed her. Oh, here it is. The New York Times reporter Vincent Malozzi has covered over 6,000 weddings since 2003. Who knows this guy, Vincent? Please email us so we can get him on the podcast. I bet that would be, 6,000 weddings he's done. So when I talk to Cheryl, which is coming up next, she's talking about what she learned through the process because she did a lot of research to do it and why she wanted to and why it was kind of a big deal or that she got a kick out of it. And she tells us about the photo. We talk about the photo requirements, which are kind of kooky. And she talks a little bit about like hacking, but you know, like what can you do to maybe get your wedding to the top of their list for the solutions.
This is interesting. Cool. Can't wait to listen.
And we want anybody that does, because we know that our listeners kind of stop listening after their weddings because it's about wedding planning. But if you did an announcement, please send it to, like, take a picture with your phone and send it to us or send us the link, because we would love to see those as a way of, you know, sharing. You're spreading the word. So spread it on over to the podcast hosts.
Let's make it viral.
There are so many articles about this and the history of these announcements. So those are all on our show notes and links for this too.
Awesome.
People are still doing it. We want to hear about it. We sort of forgot about it. We want to learn more.
For sure. Well, lovely. Thank you, Cheryl. I'm sorry I wasn't able to be on this interview with you, but I know it went great and we really appreciate you being a guest on the pod.
Thank you. And up next, my bit with Cheryl.
We're so excited now. We have a guest joining us for this episode all about newspaper announcements. And she is the reason why we even thought about doing an episode about these announcements. Her name is Cheryl Stoke. She's a high school librarian in San Antonio, Texas, and she just got married this last August 3rd on a terrace overlooking the Alamo in downtown San Antonio. Welcome, Cheryl. Thank you for making the time today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited that this went all the steps to get you on the podcast. So I'm glad you stuck with me through all the emails and scheduling. So you were a listener and you were also in our Facebook group, that community. And that's where you shared it was an illustration, right?
Yeah. Well, so when I found out I was going to have our announcement in the New York Times, the announcement hadn't come out yet. So what I posted to share it was a little picture that we had done for the wedding. It was an illustration from Etsy of my husband and I as cartoon characters, but with stuff around us that we like to do together. And one of those little things in the illustration was the New York Times. So it kind of went along with the idea that we were going to be getting into the New York Times wedding announcement.
Yes. And then we've done an episode with Miss Designberry, who does those sort of illustrations. Mm-hmm. And there's a ton of cool artists on Etsy and other sites that do those. So it was a cute picture of you two. And I assume you do the New York Times crossword together. Is that one of the...
We don't. My mom does the New York Times crossword puzzle, but we do read the New York Times together on Sundays. That's kind of one of the reasons why we were, well, A, knew about it, and B, wanted to submit our announcement.
Yeah. And then you submitted the link to your actual announcement.
Mm-hmm.
But yes. And so we read that, and I just thought it was cool. I know my parents had announcements in their little local papers when they got married, and I think my mother-in-law put an announcement in her local paper when my husband and I got married, but it just wasn't something that was on our radar. But my parents still do get hard copies delivered to their house of the Dallas and the Fort Worth newspapers in Texas, and I always used to go straight to the announcements or engagements when I was a kid looking at it. So it's such a cultural, it's just there in my periphery, but we hadn't thought about it for the podcast until I read yours and was like, this is cool. I want to hear how that all went down. So tell us a little bit about you and your husband, Peter. And I guess some of what you're going to tell us is what the New York Times ultimately was asking for as far as information, right?
Yeah, I can do that. So, well, you already mentioned I'm a high school librarian in San Antonio. My husband is in the nonprofit field. He's a nonprofit administrator. We've been dating about 2 years. We met in 2017 on Match.com, as you do nowadays. And then we got married just about a month and a half ago on August 3rd. I won't read the whole announcement, but I'll just read the part that is my little bio, and that will also give you kind of a sense of what the format and the tone of the announcement is like. So it says, Miss Stoke, 42, is a librarian at Sandra Day O'Connor High School in San Antonio. She is also a founder and the planning chair of Library Palooza, an annual young adult author festival for teens in San Antonio. She received 2 bachelor degrees, one in English and the other in political science, both summa cum laude, from Trinity University in San Antonio, from which she also received a master's degree in teaching. She also holds a master's in library science from the University of North Texas.
So they go into some detail about the recent past, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely if you ever read the wedding announcements, they're all pretty much the same format. They give a little resume of each of the partners. So yeah, they kind of go into your professional biography, I guess.
Yeah. You're looking at the Times on Sundays, it's something you do together, but mm-hmm. when were you like, we should do this? Like, at what time in the wedding planning process did you start to look into it and then realize like, oh, there's deadlines, or I don't know, I guess you would have to jot some notes down and be like, if we're going to do this, here's what we need to do now.
Yeah. We read the New York Times together. He doesn't really read the wedding part. That's me. But I've been reading that for years, way before we ever met. I mean, I've been reading the wedding announcements for a long time. And then after we got engaged, I don't know, maybe a couple months after we got engaged, I started thinking we should submit ours and see if they pick us. And so that's when I started looking into what do you have to do to submit and when. How far in advance, and of course, being the librarian that I am, I also started researching, you know, what do you need to do, who do they like to pick, things like that, to see, you know, do I even have a chance of them picking us, and, you know, after I kind of did all that, then I realized that they require you to submit it 6 weeks in advance, at least. I think I submitted ours about 8 weeks in advance, so about 2 months in advance.
When you say submitted, is it a survey from a link on their website, or?
Yeah, so you go on, you can just Google New York Times wedding submission or announcement, and they have a form, and it tells you all the stuff about when you need to do it, which is, like I said, about six weeks is the minimum. And they have a form, and the form asks you pretty much all the things that they typically have in the wedding announcements. It starts off with the, and you just fill it out online, submit it online, but it starts off with the day you're getting married, which has to be your official legal marriage solemnization. So if you're getting married at the courthouse and then later going to be married at a destination or something, it has to be the legal date, not any other date. So it has to coincide with your legal marriage. So you have the date you're getting married, you have where you're getting married, you have who is officiating. If you don't know, for example, if you're going to be at a courthouse, you can put that on there and then tell them later who did it. You put the affiliation of whoever is officiating. And if you have a couple of people officiating, you can do that. Then you put the information about each partner, your age, your contact information, your address, your birthday, all that stuff that I kind of read about me. So any degrees you have, your job.
Passion project.
Maybe if you were in the military, if you had any professional awards or volunteer type, you know, recognitions, if you had an achievement or you published something. So kind of like a little resume. And then also your parents' names, where they live, what they do or did for a living. And you do have the option to, I think they had a checkbox, like, are you in contact with your parents? Something like that. So you do that, all of that for both spouses.
So it's not and for then, anybody that's like trying to hide something or move on.
Oh no.
It's pretty like intrusive in terms of like, you must tell the truth about, I mean,
yes.
You can think that you got like top secret clearance or somebody was like, show us your marriage certificate. The date's better.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't want people to know a lot about your personal life, I wouldn't do it because, I mean, for example, now if you were to Google my name, our wedding announcement's the first thing that comes up. So then, you know, people can
see interesting
stuff. Yeah. And then the last thing, and you also have to include the contact information, address, phone number, email for your officiant and your parents.
Did you reach out to them?
Well, they said they would, but as far as I know, they never did. They did call both Peter and me.
Okay.
So they called us the Monday before we got married and told us that we were going to be in the newspaper, and they kind of went through line by line every little thing, kind of asking, verifying, clarifying.
So if you didn't know your officiant's name and they're asking, and it's Saturday and the paper goes out on Sunday, you would go to the courthouse and then like quickly text the New York Times to be like, it's Al Joshua. That's who our officiant is.
I think so. Because I mean, I've definitely seen people who got married like on a Friday or Saturday and they're announcing it on Sunday and it includes the name of their officiant and it'll say, you know, like a clerk at the, you know, Bexar County courthouse or whatever, whatever it is. So yeah, I think that's what people have to do for that part.
You know, until you let us know where you were from, I thought that all the New York Times announcements were in New York, weddings in New York.
You know, that's what my fiance was saying when I first kind of brought up the idea. He was like, well, you know, maybe it's only for regional editions. And I said, no, I don't think so. I mean, it's the national edition. And I didn't think that because I've been reading them and I see people from all over in there. I mean, definitely they have a lot of New Yorkers and a lot of Californians, but I think there's just a lot of people that live in New York and California. And my husband is from Buffalo, New York. So, you know, he has a New York tie, but I don't think you at all have to be New Yorker to get in.
And I also would have, another stereotype is that it's like socialites and politicians' yeah. children, you know, or people that have buildings named after them in New York. And that, I think when I read up on all the history is pretty, that was the situation back.
Yeah.
But every major city has a newspaper and most, you know, small towns even do. And then, so the announcements that I was reading were always Texas Dallas weddings because I was reading in the Dallas Morning News, but the New York Times being delivered nationally, I guess that would make sense. So I wonder if they also like, if you maybe floated to the top of the pile because it was San Antonio and they hadn't had a San Antonio wedding in a couple weeks, you know.
Yeah.
Did you feel like you learned anything through the process about like the right answers or what they were?
Well, so, you know, I've been reading them a long time and then I did a little research. So I think, I mean, I don't know if this is stuff that I learned from just reading the New York Times or researching or, but I'm not sure it was from my experience, but I, you know, they say they're looking for quote unquote interesting people, or interesting, you know, announcements. And, I guess what you kind of have to keep in mind is their definition of interesting is limited to what goes in the announcement. So you could be a super fascinating person, but if that's the fascinating parts about you are not what you put in the announcement that, or what they're asking for in the announcement, then, you know, that's not the type of interesting they're looking for. So, you know, obviously all these professional type issues, like where you work, if you have an interesting job, if you've done something interesting in your past professionally. I've read that there's a disproportionate number of Ivy League graduates in the New York Times. But then also connections. So of course your family, kind of like what you were saying, you know, a senator's, you know, son or daughter, or you're the great great granddaughter of the inventor of Wonder Bread, or yeah. I saw someone a couple weeks ago that was a direct descendant of Pocahontas, you know. So if you have interesting family connections, or of note, notable family connections, but actually even your officiants could be what they find interesting. Right. Like in the last month, I saw Hillary Clinton officiated a wedding. They had James Obergefell from Obergefell v. Hodges.
Yes, yes.
Was an officiant. Too. Yeah, he was an officiant at somebody's wedding. So.
Yeah, you see like Cyndi Lauper will randomly, a celebrity or a big name officiant would be a big deal also.
I guess just basically if you feel like you have at least one of those things that's going to be in your announcement that'll be kind of interesting, then I think you have a good chance of getting in. I mean, not for sure, I guess. Nobody is for sure, but, you know. And then the other thing which I read, which makes sense, is that if you get married during a month where it's not very popular to get married, they don't get as many wedding submissions. So that also increases your chances of getting selected because you don't have as much quote unquote competition, because they're not getting as many submissions during those times of the year.
And that, you sent me a bunch of links about like stuff that you had found in your research. Mm-hmm. And I looked at all of that and I'm going to include all of that in the show notes. And in there is a lot of like, not hacking the system, but these kind of hints and tips and tricks about what to put in and what you are submitting. And one thing about the professional part I saw was that something like consultant is a pretty vague, that everybody's a consultant, or if you don't want your, they want like the actual title professionally, more than something, I guess, general. And that was stood out because you could have just put librarian, but you know, high school librarian with all these master's degrees and then doing this program for young authors, I guess it all ties into something more interesting that they're looking for. Was there space in the submission for like anything else you want to add?
So the last thing that I don't think I mentioned is they ask how you met, and that's usually like one line, but some people, you know, it's a little longer. Then you do your own sample write-up of what you'd like to see. So you can write it all up, you know, and I know that's where some people will put things about, you know, if they are or are not taking their partner's name, if they're going to maybe combine names, things like that. They have this form, but then one of the things on the form is just to write up your own announcement. And I mean, they have a suggested template for how that's going to look. And if you kind of look at one day's worth of announcements, you'll see they all kind of follow the same general format, but you could, I mean, in there, you can definitely add in some stuff that you think would be interesting or that you'd like to see, or, you know, for example, within the last month, I've seen two people who, you know, mine says MS, you know, as my title, I guess. I've seen two recently that have MX, you know, that's
talk about that.
What they want to go by. So, you know, when you write up your sample announcement that you'd like to see, that's where I think you can kind of put that kind of stuff in.
Yeah. I mean, or if they didn't ask, like you were a 10-time juggling champion of whatever, I guess that would be something of note. So I also noticed in yours, it talks about a previous marriage.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So how does that work? And what if you just were like, can we just skip that? Like, no, they want to.
Yeah. I mean, that was, first of all, it wasn't in the form, you know, they didn't ask anything about any previous marriages or anything like that. I didn't put it in our example, but then when they called me and when they called Peter, they asked if you had been married before, and Peter had been married before, and they said, well, you know, that ended in divorce, and he said yes, and so they added that in. I mean,
that's so
interesting. I didn't say, please don't add that. I mean, I was just so happy at that point that they were going to put us in. Didn't know if I could negotiate it out or not. So I don't know why they included that.
It's a little bit weird because with any marriage, the whole idea is like starting this journey together. And
yeah.
I've seen plenty of weddings where it's not as common because the demographic is a little bit younger, but when they've had a previous marriage or even friends of mine, like you might know about it, but you just don't talk about it. You're not like, this is my husband. He's been married before. Like,
yeah,
not.
I thought it was weird. I mean, maybe there is some historical reason why they put that in. I don't know what it is, but my parents asked me about it when they saw it. They were like, why didn't you include that? I was like, it wasn't me. I mean, it's kind of a weird thing. Like, we're getting married and my husband was married before, but, I mean, it's not a big deal. It's no secret or anything.
I know.
But it's also kind of a weird little thing to have on during our wedding announcement.
So when we talked on the phone, you said that there was that photo component. And when I was on the New York Times website, it said, had specifics about those photos. Here's what I pulled because I thought it was so weird how they word it. It says, couples posing for pictures should arrange themselves with their eyebrows on the same level and with their heads fairly close together with plenty of space at the top and sides of the couple's heads. So if we weren't taking all sexiness out of this process, I think once you start sifting through photos, it probably does, because then I looked through a bunch of photos that were on the website and seeing couples' eyes at the same level, you don't notice it until somebody points it out. And then you look at the pictures and you're like, oh my gosh, that is odd. Everybody's heads are sort of together with their eyes on the same level. I don't know if I've ever taken a picture like that with my husband. I'm sure I have, but never thought about like, okay, just inch a little bit closer. And so how did that?
Well, yeah, actually, to be honest, that was the most involved, biggest issue of the whole process for us, because you know, so I read those instructions and we didn't have any engagement photos taken, although I would say that if we had, we definitely would have needed to kind of give them those instructions ahead of time, because I don't know that otherwise we would have, even with professional photos, had a photo that met all those specifications.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we were just you know, thinking, okay, well, we need to have a photo to send in, or a few photos, you can upload a few. So we asked one of our friends to help us with that. We did, you know, we're kind of trying to get our eyebrows level and our heads together and a nice background. And he's 6'4" and I'm 5'5". So it's not like we naturally have our eyebrows at the same level.
Just imagine husbands like propping their fiancés up, you know, almost like holding you to get this.
Yeah.
Are you standing on a chair? It's just such an odd.
Yeah, well, the first round of photos, I was actually sitting on some books trying to get us kind of even. Well, anyway, so I submitted those, a couple of photos. The next day, they sent me an email back saying, you know, could you please resubmit more, you know, new photos where your eyebrows are even? So I was like, oh, okay. So then we had my mom take some photos, and we had some friends take some photos. I submitted those, and then I got another email back saying, can you submit some new photos with your eyebrows more level and high resolution? And you can take it with your phone. I was like, okay. So then we ended up that Peter's son, who's 19, he just used my camera phone and took a couple pictures, and we were like, oh, those look pretty good. Maybe they'll work. So we submitted those, and that's what they ended up using. The photos that he took. I guess it just takes, a teenager with a camera phone to
get those great photos. Are they all, do anybody submit photos in their wedding dress?
No. I've never seen them.
In other newspapers they do, but that they don't have strict rules of like when you submit. So it could be like, we got married 5 weeks ago and here's our announcement. Because I think for a lot of newspapers, you just pay for you write it yourself, you pay for your little column space, and it's a revenue for the paper. But this is always like in Central Park or, an engagement photo if they had the ruler next to their eyebrows, I guess, at the time.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because now that I went through that whole ordeal with the photos, when I'm reading it, I'll see photos where the eyebrows are not level. And then I'll show my husband, I'll say, look at this picture. And he'll say, their eyebrows are not level. I'll be like, thank you. How did that one get through? So I don't know. If we hadn't ever gotten ones that they wanted, if they would have just taken what we gave them, or not put it in. I mean, I've seen some announcements that don't have photos. So I don't know. I don't know exactly. I can't speak to that. Because there are announcements with no photos. There are announcements where their eyebrows are less level than what we ended up with. So I don't know if they just eventually give up and take what they can, or don't publish them, or maybe people don't ever submit photos and they just go with it. I don't know. But I do know that for us, that was the hardest part of the whole thing, was getting those photos submitted and acceptable.
So then your wedding day is on August 3rd and your announcement is August 4th?
Yes. So they do the last 6 days. They come out every Sunday and they do the last 6 days. So if you got married on a Sunday, it would come out the day of your wedding. Otherwise it would come out the Sunday after your wedding.
Okay. So it's written ahead of time. So if like left your husband at the altar and it was a giant disaster, you're still going to have an announcement in the New York Times because you went through the process, you were accepted, it's done.
Yeah. I mean, I guess unless you called them before they went to press maybe or something, I don't know.
Was it worth it? And what did you do when you saw it? And where is it now? Like I'm assuming it was kind of thrilling to see your eyebrow picture right there, right there in the New York Times.
Yeah, it was thrilling. I mean, I think the most thrilling part was when I very first got the call from them, because, it was already the week of the wedding and I hadn't heard from them and I had kind of almost thought, oh, I guess we didn't get in. And then they called us and said they were going to publish it. That was probably the biggest thrill when they very first told us. But then, we got our newspaper. We opened it up. We didn't know what pictures they were going to use. And of course they had tweaked our announcement a little bit and we were kind of like right at the center at the top of the page. So that was kind of cool. But so it's like, okay, we're in the New York Times. And what I didn't really realize is that our friends and our family were going to also be really thrilled about it and like share it with people, on their own. So it was really cool. And I hadn't thought when I submitted it and was hoping we would get in, I didn't think past, okay, it's going to be in there. That was just kind of what I thought, like, oh, we'll be in the New York Times. And that was my goal, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word, but that was the most I had thought about the announcement. But then when people knew that we were having it in there, people were like, oh, are you going to get it framed? And I started thinking, oh, I guess I need to get it framed. So it is framed now. I have the masthead from the front page of the New York Times at the top. And then on the left, I have a picture of us from the wedding. And on the right, we have the vow column and it's matted and has a frame. And now I just need to put it up on the wall. But it is matted. It looks really cool.
So it's a family heirloom. All the little mementos that we have. and your friends that get the newspaper, maybe some of them that didn't come to the wedding, maybe some of them were like delighted and surprised to see your faces there. And
yeah, well, you know, we did not do any engagement photos. As I mentioned, we didn't do any save the dates. You know, we had just about 50 people at the wedding. So this was also kind of a really cool way to announce the wedding to people, mm-hmm. and to share it with people, since we hadn't done any of that stuff. So yeah, it was a really cool way for us to share. And then also, like I said, for our friends and our family to share the news with other people, you know, it was cool. It
was neat. Be a part of it. I think that's it. I'm so glad you were able to share with us and all of our listeners. If we get any questions, specifics, I'll forward them to you and you can
let
us know.
Well, I have two kind of last other things to throw out there. One is that if anybody does get into the New York Times, I would advise planning how you're going to get copies of the paper if you aren't, you know, already getting like a subscription delivered to you or something, because we kind of knew, okay, we need to go out on Sunday and pick up some copies. But, you know, we were doing other stuff. We went out in the afternoon and we ended up having to drive around to a bunch of different places until we could find a couple of copies.
Like a Starbucks?
Yeah, we ended up getting one from Starbucks and one from a grocery store. But it was not the first Starbucks or the first grocery store we went to.
Wow. When you brought it up to the cashier, were you like, we're in this?
No.
I would totally, I've done that before.
No, I've gotten public, but
that's me. I did that.
But yeah, so it took us a while to track it down. And so that's one thing. And then the other thing, you know, kind of thinking about all of these questions and, you know, the process and everything, I was thinking, gosh, you know, I feel kind of bad in a way, like this is all kind of an elitist thing. Like, are they going to take me? And, you know, do I have what they're looking for? And it's kind of like you were saying, the remnants of this society pages of like the Vanderbilts and the Carnegies, you know, families getting married and stuff, which we are definitely not. We did not have any, you know, celebrities or family, you know, connections or anything like that. But on the other hand, it's free, you know, it's free to submit. It's free if they select you. And kind of like you were saying, I know I grew up in Houston, the Houston Chronicle, you pay for your wedding announcements in there, you know. And unlike many things in the wedding industry, it's free, you know. Yeah. So I guess that's kind of the last thing I'd say is if you think you might want to do it, and you should, because other than some time, maybe getting the right photos done.
You have nothing to lose.
Yeah, I mean, it's free, you know. You can submit it for free. If they select you, it's free. So in that sense, it's, you know, this really cool thing for your wedding and to share with people that's more or less free.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because it is in this social media, we could post pictures of us at the altar 5 minutes later, we're married and you get 200 likes and all your friends that didn't come get to see you, and it's immediate gratification. But this takes a little bit of prep time, a little bit mm-hmm. of legwork on the front end, and then there's something actually in print with that famous, you know, that famous font that they use, or something for you to have in your hands, something for your grandma. You can cut it out and send it to her. I think it's a cool little piece of pop culture history now in your family tree. So yeah. I think that's cool. I hope more listeners tell us about their announcement experience, or, you know, if you haven't thought about it, just look into your local paper. It might be just a nice way to get the word out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cheryl, thank you so much. And please thank Peter for us as well, even though he's wasn't as into it as you are. Again, there were links that Cheryl sent us that I'm going to put on social media, on our website. So you can see some of those articles about the New York Times process. And also the articles that I pulled on the part of this episode earlier. So please subscribe on iTunes, rate and review us. Instagram is at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. We use the hashtag Plan That Wedding. We are on Facebook and Twitter, TBWP Podcast. We also have a Facebook community group that Cheryl's a part of. And our email is the best way to reach us, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. If you're interested in consulting one-on-one with either Michelle or I, you can email us about that. And if you want to help support us, you can join our Patreon group, patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast.